Vic Porcelli.
Come on, you're Italian. You understand.
Every day is a busy day all of a sudden.
You talking to me? You talking to me?
Tough and smart, and I love Italian, so, you know, he's definitely Italian.
At least they have this show to come and talk about it and let some stuff up.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
The Vic Porcelli Show.
Good morning, freedom fighters. Kenny Williams.
Good morning, Vic.
You know, you look like you could use a vacation. Why don't you work one
day? I might need to.
And then take a few days off. It's our Thursday here, a big show. We love them. We love Karen Cataline. She leads us off here in just a bit. The one and only Karen Cataline.
Did you know that I'm married to a trucker? I feel like using a Yiddish word, famished. Toiling in front of my computer, I am. They're just too dumb to lie. He has the effect of 6 shots of scotch.
You are the superhero, Super Jew. You okay with that?
All I can think of is like a tallis, you know, with a cape, you know.
Yeah, the cape. Cape's got the Star of David on the back, right? The wind blowing your hair and your cape.
Oh, that's, yeah. Okay. How are you both?
Doing great. How are you doing? I just want to say, a couple of days ago, we were talking about something on X, the three of us. Mm-hmm. And you said, okay, yep, and I'll be glued to my TV watching Fauci plead the fifth over and over. And I'll be damned, you hit it. He didn't answer what color his tie was.
Right, right. And that could be among the interesting things he could get charged with. He could be put in contempt because there are rules for taking the fifth. Not only that the pardon already covers him, and I wish I were a lawyer for times like this. So I don't want to put out everything that I was listening to yesterday, but I think that there are some, Ken, some cracks in the armor. The one that I wish I could do if I had a genie and I could say, please, please give me a couple of wishes, is to disavow and completely negate a fraudulent pardon. Because that is the heart of it. Not just because he was pardoned for crimes he had never been charged with, but because yes, you can have an auto pen, but if they can't prove that Biden actually authorized it, they can throw it all out along with a bunch of others. I know it's harder to go for the big fish. To me, that's the big fish. And of course, like most people, we're desperate for accountability. You may have said that or read that I was kind of posting furiously, and I said that this monster might get away with his crimes against humanity. About the best we can hope for is for him to be humiliated and paraded through the streets naked.
Love that.
Because that's what I'd love to see, because it's the humiliation that I think would be the biggest punishment for him. He deserves the punishment that America metes out to all other human beings. But that one could be a fate worse than death. The humiliation, the mockery. I was calling him Mengele.
Yeah.
He is responsible for medically experimenting on innocent people, which is what Mengele did. I hate making those comparisons, but he is guilty of crimes against humanity. He's a monster. There's just no question about it.
Ken?
Oh, I just think that he's going to get away with it. I mean, I think more than ever, I'm worried about him getting away with it. You know what I'm saying? Okay. People are so aggravated and upset and so discouraged by the process now that if he walks away, which he will, people are going to be like, it doesn't matter. The bedrock of this nation depends on things being run with law and order, and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
I totally share your sentiments up to a point that it is critical that accountability be meted out. But you're kind of projecting what you're saying you're afraid of, which is to give up and say it'll never happen, there's still a part of me that's optimistic because there's so many things in the works. The Fauci travesty is only one of them. And a lot of these things people are working on. Do I think you could be right? Unfortunately, you could be. But there's a part of me that hopes and prays and desperate to believe that before Trump leaves office, there will be a dump on the Russian collusion story and all of these stories put together until people can't not pay attention to all of them and connect the dots. Yeah. That's what I hope.
He was just intoxicated on fame. And I love that one of the senators asked him, did you lie to your diary? I mean, which is a ridiculous question, but it was a great question, right? So yesterday, Ken and I were kind of talking about Dr. Fauci in his pajamas, in his room, laying on his stomach with his diary. There were his feet in the air, and he writes, dear
little adolescent girl.
Dear diary, yeah. I didn't make prom king. Scott, I hate Scott. Scott's a jerk.
I'm going to... develop a kill book or whatever it was in Mean Girls. The kill book. I got a question that I was just thinking about. You know, for 5.5 years, we've been hearing about gain of function. And we can only speculate as to what that is because somehow this monster told us it was important and we're still trying to think of what it is. But most people don't really understand. I don't pretend to understand. But what it seems to me is that they were creating a deadly bioweapon virus so they could then create the antidote. Right? Yeah. And somehow this is important to create a virus that never existed so you can create an antidote, which is the dumbest excuse for creating a bioweapon and colluding with the worst communist enemy of America doing it, which to me is treason. My question is, did they ever get to the gain of function part? No one ever asked that.
Well,
they got to the virus part, but nobody ever talked about gaining function. We only talked about this virus took away function and people's lives. If in fact it wasn't a fraud and it was really a bad flu. All of those questions have yet to be answered.
Well, I think some of it, Karen, the COVID was part of the gain of function. That was actually, they say accidentally released into the wet market.
But what do those words mean, gain of function? It means I'm justifying to make a virus that is part of, that's in the animal kingdom, transmittable to humans. It was never there before, but I'm going to make it happen, a deadly virus that'll make people sick and dead. Because that's what is so important to do. But nobody has ever said, what's the gaining of function? What, you're going to make people sick so you can make them well? Obviously, that's what he was trying to do and making a mint doing it, which is always the way. They break your leg and then they sell you the crutch, you know?
You know, I think that's how Big Pharma would have wanted it. You know, let's make something and let's see if we can fix it. And I asked my wife last night, I said, because they were talking about tests, right? Remember we all had to take the test if we had COVID? I said to her, who made the tests? And it was Gillian, starting with Pfizer. So Pfizer had their nose in the test, in the vaccine, and everything else.
And then on top of everything else, he denied he was doing gain of function, and then they proved he was.
Yeah, and Rand Paul did bring that up, but just not enough. Okay, let's talk about it.
Could I say one other thing?
If you must. You missed your cue. I must.
Deeper. I must.
There you go.
we also got to drill deeper, because there's so much here, and that is... Look at back then and now the people that were standing in line supporting this and marching in lockstep. All the communists, all the tyrants, they were all marching in lockstep. So I think there's another level of people that had a vested interest in bringing down America, the same ones that are too dumb not to lie, and now telling us that they are card-carrying communists. Those are the same people that have an In for America. This was the greatest attack on America in human history, whatever, that was a communist attempt at a takeover.
You're absolutely.
And so we don't talk about that either.
Yeah. I have two questions for you. Question number one, I don't know what your busy schedule is today, but do you mind doing a whole nother segment with us?
You're kidding. Really?
We got something to do. You got to get your hair done. You want to get bagels and lox? What's the problem?
I got to do my nails.
Washing my hair.
Washing my hair. Yes, I'd love to.
Perfect. Ken wants to play something that I love, okay? And then I want to come back and talk about Sophie Cunningham, right? Because I know you're all hyped up about that.
Oh, isn't she great?
Love her. But first, let's hear this super cut collage. This is not just the collage.
No.
This is a super cut collage of accolades by the media's top names during the COVID pandemic.
The single most respected voice in the pandemic. It's Dr. Anthony Fauci.
The man who's become known as America's doctor.
The nation's top infectious disease expert, Anthony Fauci.
You are seen to many as a superhero.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, American hero and New York Yankee fan.
You've done so much for this country in terms of this crisis, so I really appreciate your insight.
Who better to give us answers that we can trust than Dr. Anthony Fauci?
The perfect person to answer our questions today. Joining us now, Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, appreciate your candor.
Dr. Fauci, appreciate the candor.
We appreciate your service to this country. We appreciate
your
service.
Idea,
thank
right?
you for
There's a certain cadence to
Vic,
all of it.
I changed my mind. I can't do another segment because I'm about to throw up.
I'm nauseous.
I know.
It just makes me so nauseous to hear this. All the same usual suspects. If we could tell them that Trump wants you to not jump off a bridge, they'd go do it.
Yes. Right. And when I was a kid, our mom used to say, I guess if Johnny Finnegan jumped off the Empire State Building, you jump off the Empire State Building. All right, let's take a break. Come back and more with Karen Cataline. You're okay with it, right? You know, the bagels and
you
the lobs, they can wait. Okay. More with Karen Cataline. We never do that. We never say that. What's the matter with us? What are we, stupid?
What's the matter here?
On 101.9 94.1 News Talk, STL. We kept Karen Cataline for another segment. We appreciate your time, Karen. We know it's valuable.
My pleasure.
So it's
always fun talking to you guys.
Let's talk about Sophie Cunningham, shall we?
Yes, let's do.
She is, first of all, when I found out that they traded for her, that the Fever traded for Sophie Cunningham from the Mercury, Phoenix Mercury, I was very excited because I knew she was tough. I didn't realize she was a third degree black belt in Taekwondo.
I didn't know that.
That makes it even better, right? That she's afraid of no one. What were we going to say?
A Mizzou graduate.
A Mizzou graduate. Went to the University of Missouri. And now it's like she's just a... And now that she's come out and said, girls don't need to play against boys in sports. Boy, I just love her. I love her even more.
God, is she like candidate for... Influencer.
Okay by me.
She's gorgeous. She's model beautiful. She's tough as nails. Unbelievably athletic. I watched her shoot three-point basket after three-point basket. My God, I could become a basketball fan, but I'm not. But I do remember the Nuggets when I was an adolescent, and I was a fan then. But I never saw women play basketball like that.
If you asked me 10 years ago, would you be recording games in advance for women's? I do. I record the games in advance so I know I don't miss them. And the other night against the Storm, by the way, guys, the Seattle Arena is called the Love Climate Arena or some kind of stupid crap like that. So there were protests against Sophie Cunningham, you know, trans rights or human rights and all that crap. And you know what she did? Like you mentioned, she came out and hit three pointers in a row. And I love that she's the defender of Caitlin Clark. I love it.
And what I also love is that this rivalry, if you want to call it that, is symbolic of what's happening on the street among certain unbelievably entitled black people, who, by the way, are very, I would think, a big embarrassment to most other black people. who are running around and saying that because, well, they're racists, because someone is white or accomplished or because they're getting attention, that they ought to cut them down a notch. I mean, this is endemic of what was going on in New York City before what's going on now, which is that, you know, blonde women were being, not just blonde, but white people were being attacked on the street simply for being white. And now it's made it to the WNBA. And now we get to see thuggery. And what are we going to do about it?
And I'm no defender of the NBA, Karen, but I got to admit, on social media, there are a few players, which I don't know their names because I don't follow the NBA at all.
Yeah.
But they are defending Caitlin Clark and Sophie Cunningham. They're just saying, why are you people doing this? The two best players in your whole league, and you're treating them this way. And then they were citing some of the things that they were doing to them, which made total sense to me then.
Yeah. Isn't that exactly what they hate?
Oh, yeah.
The thugs is to call them the two best players in the league. That's not allowed.
Right.
You know, white people are not allowed to be athletic. And of course, we know that if you're polite, that's racist, too.
Larry Bird didn't have to go through all this stuff, did he?
I don't think so. Yeah, being polite, Karen, and being objective is whiteness or something like that, right?
We're living in more racism today than back then in Larry Bird's time. Nobody cared what color he was.
Right, it's true.
Exactly right.
Choose up sides based. I remember Larry Bird.
And to
Bird, Bird, B-Y-R-D, Bird.
Right. we had a bird named Larry. Larry Bird.
He did.
Seriously, you're not kidding?
No, yes, he was a green Senegal parrot, right?
Oh.
And if he's green, right, he was Larry Bird, because the Celtics are green, he was green, and his name was Larry.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought maybe he was just innocent.
No, totally by purpose.
But I'm bummed.
That's my same thing, by purpose. Okay, so Tyrese Halliburton, who plays for the Pacers, has season tickets for the Fever games. He's a courtside every game.
Isn't that great? Didn't even Michael Jordan stand up?
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
For Caitlin Clark?
Yes,
he which did. Is just something else. I didn't know that, women could grow that tall.
6'1". Yeah.
One of them's
amazing.
One's totally freakishly tall. Dawana Bonner.
Yeah, I know. I looked it up.
Yeah.
Over 7 feet tall. Something like 7'4", as tall as the San Antonio Spurs guy or close to it.
He's a freak.
That just blows my mind. Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. I wish I was
How can
only
he walk?
A few. You know, the biggest human ever, the tallest human ever is from this area, from Alton. What was his name? Ludlow?
Really?
Yeah, Ludlow. Yeah, 8'1", yeah! 8'2".
I remember him in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah, yep, from right across the river. All right, wow. So let's talk about us and Iran. And the president said if they messed around. Well, you know what he did? He took a good mafia outlook at it.
They hit us, so we hit them back.
We hit them back. And we hit them pretty good last night.
We hit them twice as hard.
Who is that you're doing?
I don't know. A mobster. I mean, just as an aside, didn't you watch yesterday with the Fauci thing that you felt like it was a throwback back to the Kefauver hearings? Didn't you just looking at that going... Anyway, what are we talking about? Iran?
Well, we can talk about whatever you want. You're our guest.
No. It's important. I'm getting whiplash here, you know. And I think you know this, that I've been quite concerned about J.D. Vance by the way that he spoke about Israel, shaking his finger at Israel about a month or two ago. That doesn't mean that everything Israel does is right. But to say you can't solve problems by murder was outrageous and over the line. And now I see a picture of J.D. Vance and Donald Trump and Netanyahu, all nice, pretty, happy, pretty, we're all a camp picture.
Yep.
And that just leads me to believe that there is an underlying agenda there going on that we know nothing about. Maybe some of that criticism of Israel was for the benefit of Iran and the Gulf states. I don't know. I just know that it feels to me like four-level chess. That's what it feels like.
Well, what about you? I think he's absolutely, you know, I mean, if they want to hit us, like Sonny says, they hit us, we hit them back. And that's what
he's think he's planning? I know we're just speculating. That's all we do.
It's fun to speculate, though. I love it.
I know.
That's all you can do, and I'm glad.
Yeah.
What do you think he's planning in the timing? I mean, this is a man, Donald Trump, who really gets public sentiment, marketing, rolling out ideas, and the midterms. Now, to me, the midterms don't really start truly in earnest until after Labor Day, in my opinion.
That's true.
Because that's when people start thinking about it. Otherwise, they have amnesia, usually. But that being said, he's got to be either planning something huge to hit right before the midterms, or the timing is like he keeps dragging his feet because he's got something big going on. I'm just sick and tired of him saying of the threats, because people like you and me have seen too many politicians do that over the years.
Yeah.
And all the Democrats saying, oh, we're really going to admonish them this time, when they had no intention of admonishing them or doing anything. It just is all very perplexing.
Yeah. I think when it's total surrender from Iran, whether it be intentional or unintentional, if they have to say it because there's really truly nothing left, or if they come to their senses and say, okay, that's when I think that the whole thing will turn around in the midterms.
They never will. I mean, no. I am less optimistic about Iran doing anything but what it has always done for 47 years than I am that something actually is going to happen to Anthony Fauci. I mean, to me, it is a given. It's a done deal. They lie. That's what they do. They believe in the 12 imams. They want to martyr themselves if they have to. There is no way they're going to deal honestly with the West, ever. And Trump has to know that.
Okay. I think it's perfect time right now. This was weird. I saw this on Tuesday. After you and I talked, of course, after the show. And I wanted to play it for you because I thought it was going to be a big surprise. But you may have seen it or heard it already. It's Boy George's new song. Have you heard it?
Yes, I think I did.
Okay. Why are you laughing?
Okay, let's hear it.
Why are you laughing at me?
Let's hear it.
You're laughing at me.
No, I want to hear it. That's why. If I'm thinking right, I think it's the funny one.
No. This is a song dedicated to Jews and Israel and supporting Israel, and it's called "We Will Dance Again" by Boy George of Culture Club.
Oh, I did not see that.
Courageous, brave lyrics.
Genocide. I say war. When you're tired.
Sounds like cooler headphones.
It's what the army's for. Does it get ugly?
There's a reason. No, I don't want to stop it, but I don't want to let that continue.
Yeah, I get it.
Let's go. It's ready. It should be ready to go now.
Go.
Does it get ugly? You bet it does. When I know you want to kill every last one of us. Every last one of us. Every last one of us.
He might be Jewish. I don't know.
Yeah.
I am stunned. I didn't see this or hear it.
He even mentions October 7th.
Really?
Yes, he does. He is in total support of you and Israel and the Jewish people.
Baruch Hashem.
You say that again?
For those who don't know Hebrew, that means thank God.
Yeah. L'chaim.
Baruch Hashem.
Can you send that to her?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Would you?
Kenny's going to send her the song.
I'll post it up and then put it on a link.
Perfect.
And send it to you.
Perfect.
Makes me verklempt when I hear that.
Yeah.
I'm just so touched and grateful to the non-Jews who not only support Israel and Jewish people, which is huge given our history. And no, I'm not, I don't want to be a professional victim. What touches me also is that they get it like you do. Is that we're always the canaries in the mine shaft.
Yeah.
And they get it. Nobody gets it as well as you and Ken. Wow. Any better than you get it.
We're pretty good going, right?
Oh, God, you're great, Goyim.
But you know what, Karen? You know what, Karen? It's the in defense of common sense.
It really is. It really is. But we love you too.
I prefer to call you Gentiles, not going.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Gentle Gentiles.
Oh, I like that. We're the gentle Gentiles.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
All right, Karen. Yeah. We wanted you to hear that, and I'm glad you didn't hear it. I'm glad we were the first to play it for you.
Kenny will send it to you
through X. And we thank you. Oh, one quick trivia question for both of you. Saxophone, named after a guy named Sax? Yes or no?
Yes.
I don't know.
What do you say, Karen?
Kidding. I have no clue.
It is. Adolf Sax invented the saxophone. I think that's so cool.
Adolf? That's another story for another time.
Wait a minute. Maybe I didn't say it right. Boy, what a terrible mistake. Adolf. It's like Adolf with the E at the end. The same as Bush, who made the beer.
Yeah.
Where's your beer?
Oh, Bush beer. Oh, my God. It just goes on and on.
I know.
Love you guys. Have a great weekend.
You too, Karen. Thank you so much.
Okay. See you, Karen.
Bye.
Vic Porcelli.
Come on, you're Italian. You understand.
Every day is a busy day all of a sudden.
You talking to me? You talking to me?
Tough and smart, and I love Italian, so, you know, he's definitely Italian.
At least I have this show to come and talk about it and let some stuff up.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
The Vic Porcelli Show.
All right, hour number two ready to roll. And right now, our great friend... the one and only Karen Catalina.
Did you know that I'm married to a trucker? I feel like using a Yiddish word, vermished. Toiling in front of my computer, I am. They're just too dumb to lie. He has the effect of 6 shots of scotch.
Good morning, Karen Catalina. How are you?
I'm doing good. I hope you had a good weekend. I'm doing great. How are you, Ken and Vic?
We're good. Yesterday, I gotta be honest and transparent with everybody. Yesterday was a little scary for me, Ken, because I was hot, I was sweating, and the air conditioner's on. The house is 72 degrees, and there's a fan blaring on me, and I had a headache. And those were the symptoms of what happened to me with the FIA that I had to go get taken out.
So what'd you do?
Nothing. I just waited for it to go away.
Mm.
No, I got. Don't give me that, okay? Don't give me. I'm going to a doctor soon. I don't know. But anyway, Karen, during this segment, and I think maybe it'd be best to do towards the end of the segment, I wanted to do this segment with you because if I'm going to cry in front of anybody, it might as well be you. Okay?
Right. And nobody else is watching.
No.
Right. Or listening, I should say.
It's just.
And by the way, get to a doggone doctor. Don't be macho.
Hey.
Just because you're Italian.
Listen.
Doesn't mean you get to be macho.
Okay, listen, honey. I thought she's my wife. Listen. I call the doctor, call the oncologist, and they never call me back. I'll have somebody call you as soon as they're done with this call. They'll call you back. Oh, okay.
You need your pushy wife to take care of business.
Yes.
I had to do that for my husband just a couple days ago.
I don't know what I swear to God. When I told her the symptoms, she broke out the blood pressure cuff. Here, put this on.
Yeah.
It was
That's
high. Right. It was 139 over 139 over 94, which is pretty high.
That's high, yeah.
For me. And took my temperature and all that crap. And, you know, it all went away later on. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, Lindsey Graham.
Yes.
Died of a widowmaker.
Did he?
That's what they thought.
I am familiar with what that is.
You're not, or you
aorta.
Are?
Aorta.
You
no,
are,
I
yeah,
am.
Right, right. And that's
I've
what they
heard
thought.
Of it.
Remember
that's
my aorta thing?
Scary.
I had an aorta thing going on not too long ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you hear how the usual suspects both cheered because they're miserable, rotten, immoral creeps and. Others who said, oh, they were out to get him because of this vote or that vote. They're already ready to believe a conspiracy theory before they even heard a conspiracy theory. It's just amazing to me. People aren't comfortable not knowing these days. It's not a sin to say, I don't know, or we don't know yet.
Well,
just saying. And may he rest in peace.
I have to stick up for this show because we say that all the time.
Yeah,
I'd rather say, I don't know what that is, than say something and sound like an idiot because you're wrong.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's no sin in saying, you know what? I jumped too soon on that and I screwed up. I was wrong.
Yeah. All right. It's time for something we call Karen Catalina X. some of your ex stuff.
You're kidding.
Some of the stuff you put on X, which is great. I always love the stuff you put.
So is that like Latinx only?
Exactly. My God, you're in my brain. Exactly. When Karen goes on X, it's Catalinex, like Latinx. But you reposted Insurrection Barbie. Love her. She's really smart, really conservative.
Yes.
The historical record, Ken, listen to this. The historical record is undeniable. The two biggest destroyers of civilization and human life throughout history have been Islam and communism. The Democrat Party has embraced both of history's most deadly ideologies.
There you go.
Karen?
Such a bingo. I mean, I don't want to be immodest, but I've been saying this for so long.
So is Ken. I got news. Ken taught me everything I know about Islam.
Telling you. Yeah. And it isn't one or the other. They work together until they destroy each other. And yes, one probably will. God forbid it should ever go that long. But one depends on the other. The Democrats think they're using Islam to destroy America for their own benefit. Islam thinks and knows that they're using Democrat liberalism and communism, which has to be there for that to set the tone of tyranny for which they intend to create a Muslim caliphate. You can't talk about one without the other. And that's what we talked about at the end of last time. Right? Because I sent an audio of a Muslim saying just that. That, I mean, he is from Iran. I thought you might do an audio on that. But maybe
I have it.
Then don't let me. I love it. Don't let me say another word. I'd like to. Let's hear it.
He's got him in a holster like the Wild West. Draw! Go.
I'm a political refugee from Iran. I've been to prison. I've been under Islamic law. And I know how it starts and I know how it ends. And it always starts with the, for some reason, unity of left and Islamists. And it scares me. So I came here to be free. I chose Canada as my second home to be live in a free country. And I'm beginning to get really scared. Because the way things are going, it looks like they're going to basically appease Islamists just to not raise any ruckus or something. They're just going to appease them step by step, and they're not going to stop. They see it as a sign of weakness, so they're going to take more and more, and I'm against that.
And Karen, thanks for sending it to me, by the way. But I've been seeing videos from Canada. They're doing call to prayer almost every day in certain provinces at the steps of their capitals. It's amazing to me what they're letting happen in Canada right now. That's what's concerning this Iranian.
Well, and can you imagine the shock of familiarity, which has happened to Chinese refugees, not spies, but actual Chinese refugees, and refugees from other countries that come to America. People who escaped Soviet Russia, and who now, people I know, who now watch what's happening in America, and they're terrified, and they have reason to be. This is the greatest threat, is the combination of both of these, because it gives way to all manner of evil, of perversion of values. We've talked about it so much, and you cannot allow anybody to tell you you're a racist for saying this, because what we hate is an ideology that people are falling for, not a person, an ideology, an incredibly evil ideology that is responsible for genocide, true genocide. Why do you think they accuse people who are not guilty of genocide and Nazism, as they horrifyingly accused Donald Trump with no evidence and no reality and no facts, because there aren't any, because they are exhibiting these very things.
All right, I have two things. One is, there was a great meme I saw of AOC, and she says, you know, Trump is homophobic. He always talks about the Strait of Hormuz. He never talks about the gay of Hormuz. I love that one.
It's cisgendered. I love the way they come up with their own language. We just should say, what, huh?
Right.
Every time they say that.
We do do that. Anyway, the other one is very serious, and it's liberal women who think that they will thrive under Sharia law.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about a useful idiot. That is, there are so many today who are being used for the most evil of purposes. We saw it at the beginning of the Trump first term when women were lining up in solidarity to put on hijabs that covered their faces. Right. Liberal women. I watched it. I almost fell off my chair. Now it's, you know, commonplace.
And they tried to make that seem like when they, I remember them doing that. And it's like, this is power. We're powerful because we're covering our bodies and our faces. And I read something about this on social media this weekend, that burqa and all that stuff that they subscribe to in the Islamic religion, it has other purposes as well as the ones we've always thought of, in that it dehumanizes, it depersonalizes the woman. It takes away their identity. And I never thought about that before.
Why would a woman want to live under those conditions, Karen?
I'm looking on my bulletin board for something I've had on my bulletin board for 7 years, and I can't find it right now. It talks about the psychology of forcing someone to cover their face and their nose and mouth. It is a forced submission. It symbolizes it. It's the psychology of it. I wish I had it, because I've accumulated a lot of stuff on my bulletin board now, and I'd have to step that way in order to find it. But I've had it there forever, because that was why I was absolutely incensed. In fact, I remain incensed about the forced masking of an entire country. Same thing. Same exact thing.
Yep.
And some people had a visceral reaction to it. I did. Many people did not. They willingly subjected themselves, willingly subjugated themselves to a total lie based on hysteria and fear. And we knew that now. We know that now. Nobody's ever apologized. Same thing. Same thing.
Wow.
Did you see that? Yeah. Okay.
I was going to say, wow, you have a bulletin board?
Yes.
That's great.
I have a studio, you know.
With
and
a bulletin board? I don't have a bulletin board in my house. You got a bulletin board?
No,
you're...
I don't.
I want a bulletin board.
I'm old school, baby.
I want one.
It's really cool.
All right. Yeah. You done?
Okay.
Are you done?
Done.
Okay. All right. So also, July the 10th, just 3 days ago, Karen Cataline put on X, have you seen anyone dare to speculate about why President Trump went back to old Air Force One? Perhaps Qatar isn't as trustworthy as it's being portrayed. It takes one to know one. Maybe Tucker Carlson knows. Now, what? I've never seen behavior like this where the president is under constant suspicion of assassination.
Well, the suspicion is very real fear and concern. We know that. But to decide to go back to an older plane, many of us, when we heard Qatar is giving him a plane and he's accepting the plane, I mean, you have no idea how many people I know, including myself, who went, oh, God, please don't do that. Please, please. These people are not your friends. They, you know, there's so much complexity. And he gets into the belly of the beast often. But, yeah, I think there's a connection. Did you like the underplayed sarcasm of that post?
Of course. I loved it.
You know, because people who don't understand what I'm saying, they'll pass it by anyway. And those who get it will go, hey, yeah.
Yeah. I think if any two men on earth get you, it's Ken and me.
Yeah.
You
too.
Right.
Couple of things.
And my husband.
Yeah, well, yeah. All right. We'll let him in. Okay.
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 Two things. One very quickly, and the other one is the story I want to tell you that just
please.
It wrecked me emotionally yesterday. So, actor Sam Neill has died.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was in Jurassic Park. He was 78 years old. This morning I said to Ken when I walked in, I said, Sam Neill. I said, what's he famous for? And Ken goes, oh, Jurassic Park. And then he goes, what? And he points to me and goes, oh, Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
I was like, right. He's the inspector who says, you're not going to get your way this time, Mr. Shelby. I'm sorry. That
He's
is
been
a
around for a long time.
That's a perfect impression of the inspector in Peaky Blinders.
It is.
I'd like some response, some applause, some sort of something.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Out of time. Mr. Shelby, you're not going to get your way this time. Okay. Now, let me tell you the story. And okay. I'm going to try to get through it. Jessica and I were just, you know, we were done with everything. You know, sometimes you just get done. You got to unplug from news and stuff. So let's watch a movie. So Good Morning Vietnam was on. That's my favorite Robin Williams movie, obviously.
Yeah.
Because he's a radio guy, right? And all that stuff happened. The bar blows up and he gets yelled at all the time. And then it's the scene when they're in the Jeep and they're surrounded by American GIs in trucks. And one of the kid goes, and this is so great because the kid goes, hey, Adrian Cronauer, say good morning, Vietnam. Like, that kid didn't do it the right way because he's not a radio person. He's just a soldier from Arkansas or somewhere far away. And then he didn't want to do it. Robin Williams didn't want to do it. Finally, he gets up and he entertains these guys for like 5 or 10 minutes. And then it hit me. Sorry. It hit me that was the moment when he realized how much he meant to them.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. You know, sitting behind the microphone, you don't understand that. You don't know how you are affecting people or how much you mean to people. I don't know if we mean anything to anybody on the show. But he realized the kids that may not even come back from war, he means everything to them. And it was the first time it clicked at all the times I've watched the movie.
Huh. I just love when you just let it all hang out. You're such a mensch. and you do it also because you're touched and not know how much you touch people.
Who knows? I don't know.
And I'm not sucking up here.
Because he's a mensch.
You touch many, many people, but you put it out there with your greatest intent, integrity, and love. And what comes back is what comes back. If you've touched someone, sometimes you never even know.
Sometimes your profession or whatever you do, you see the immediate reaction on if you're touching people, right? Mm-hmm. But when you're in radio, there's no response. There's no audience. It's not stand-up comedy.
And that's a good point, Karen, because I decorated cakes. I was a cake artist for many years, and I would see the immediate response from people. You know, I would do this cake that I spent hours on maybe, and I'd go out there and we'd present it to them, and their faces would drop, and they'd be just like, you know, almost tears sometimes. Yeah. You see that immediately, but in this profession, it's like, okay, we'll see you tomorrow.
and before video, and you can watch stuff, nobody even knew what you looked like.
And luckily, we have Vic heads now that we can actually see some immediate response from them. And then we love that, by the way. So we're just passing that message on, too.
It's wonderful. There was a book a few years ago called The Butterfly Effect, which most people know, right?
Yep.
It is about that very thing. And sometimes when I was doing hosting of radio that I don't do really very much anymore.
You should.
I said to my husband, you know, it's so piddly what I'm doing. I mean, I'm not big time. Come on, you know. And he kept telling me about the butterfly effect. You never know how your words might affect someone and, God willing, change their life for the better. As we've allowed them to change us for the better, as I've allowed you both to change me for the better in many ways, you have.
Oh, thank you, Karen.
Huh, and I'm not even a rabbi. All right, Karen.
Well, some rabbis don't know what they're doing. You know, they're only human.
That's true.
That's right.
It's true. All right. Great talk, right? Good talk.
Good talk. Right. So don't ever change. Don't ever change.
I shan't change.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Thanks. We'll talk to you Thursday.
Bye, Karen.
Love you. Bye. Bye.
I'm not going to get your way this time, Mr. Shelby.